In Massachusetts, 53-year-old Sally Beckwith has been caring for orphaned wild animals for more than a decade. Like other wildlife rehabilitators, her goal is to raise the animals in a way that keeps them wild, so that when they are returned to their natural habitat, they'll hunt, mate, and understand that humans are to be feared. For the second of her two reports, Nancy Cohen followed Beckwith for about a year. She raised some orphaned coyotes and at the same time raised some controversy.
Sally Beckwith is used to raising animals that scratch, bite, or even carry rabies. But today she has an animal that poses new risks.
This is the very first time I've ever been really, really nervous about an animal, releasing an animal. I've always been very sure of what I was doing prior to this, but this is a new one for me.
Beckwith is raising a 2-month-old eastern coyote, a species that's been known to attack livestock and even people.
We might have an animal that is so un-coyote-like because she was raised by herself by a human being that she couldn't possibly be safely released, safely for her and or safely for the public. We also might get an animal who's aggressive. And then we might get really, really lucky and do a good job and get her out there the way she's supposed to be.
Beckwith raises orphaned animals by mimicking the natural mother's relationship with the offspring. Although she won't chew up food and regurgitate it, as the mother coyote would, Beckwith does bottle feed this pup and encourages the animal to bond with her exclusively. But bonding clashes with the practice of most rehabilitators, who say it will erode an animal's fear of humans. Beckwith has used her approach successfully to raise hundreds of mammals, but she doesn't yet know how it will work with a coyote. What she does know is that the coyote has become a pariah in many communities. On Cape Cod, where the coyote population has expanded, the Falmouth Chamber of Commerce is holding a meeting to learn more about coyotes. To hear some talk, coyotes have become as common as the tourist on the Cape.
My feeling is that if they can't control them, they shouldn't just be able to roam free.
I saw him at the Windfall Market during the day. I saw two at the Falmouth Mall walking across the parking lot during the day.
What happens when they start walking across the school playground?
This isn't just idle talk. 2 years ago, a coyote stalked and bit a young boy on the Cape, and it's common to hear about coyotes killing domestic cats. Elaine Duckham used to have 3 cats.
This 15-year-old cat that we've had, he went running out, and seconds later we heard this scream and a gurgling sound, and that was it. We never saw him again. And we saw the tracks. It was coyote tracks. And now we can't even let our cats out. We have to walk them.
Human communities give coyotes easy access to food, trash, roadkill, and pet food. Robert Deblinger of the Massachusetts Division of Fish and Wildlife warned people at the meeting not to feed coyotes.
Once you feed this animal, it begins to understand that people are not to be afraid of, and it gets closer and closer, and then you can have an altercation where the coyote acts aggressively to people.
Despite this advice, the state allows some wildlife rehabilitators with permits to raise orphaned coyotes. What would people on the Cape think about that? Not much. Tom Garland is with Falmouth Animal Control.
I think if you're going to rehabilitate a coyote, you better put it in a zoo or something. But not to put it back in the wild.
But Sally Beckwith believes that an animal born in the wild should be returned to the wild. By late May, in the woods behind Beckwith's house south of Boston, there are 3 more orphaned coyote pups. They're all brothers, and Beckwith's raising them with the first one, whom she calls Jezebel. Beckwith says the best way to preserve a coyote's wild instincts is to rear it as it would be by its mother, in a family group. The pups are at the age when mammals are firmly bonded to their mothers, and Beckwith says Jezebel, whom she's bottle-fed since the pup's eyes were closed, has bonded to her.
I believe absolutely that she thinks I'm her mother. I don't think she identifies with me. I don't think that she thinks she's human, but she absolutely believes that I am her protector, caretaker, fulfilling the mother role, absolutely.
Beckwith says Jezebel's behavior confirms this.
On greeting me, she puts her ears down, she flops over on her back and wags her tail. She'll come over and put her mouth around my arm with her ears down, and she whines and wags. That's all very, very subservient behavior that they would do to their mother.
Beckwith says when animals bond to her, she can leave them for short periods of time outside uncaged. This gives them experience with their natural prey before they leave her.
Jazz! Puppies! Come on, puppy! Come on!
Today, the pups have spent an hour or so alone in the woods. But unlike other days, none of them respond to Beckwith's calls. She's learning how keenly aware they are of any change in their environment. Today, there's a big change. I'm here. This is the first time Beckwith has allowed another person to be around them. The first and last time.
Now, I've learned something from this. This is atypical. She'd be showing herself immediately. And always has. They never would have disappeared just like this.
Beckwith says since they're staying away when I'm around, they won't seek out other humans and be a danger once they leave her.
They're not concerned about me, but they are concerned about you. So they haven't put us both in the same category.
Although Beckwith has no hard data to back up that claim, she's getting a rare glimpse into the behavior of the elusive coyote. By late October, the four coyotes have returned to the wild.
Oh, boy.
As late as December, Beckwith leaves frozen mice out in the woods for the coyotes, just in case they're hungry. But she never finds evidence that they've been there. Springtime brings a new crop of orphans to Beckwith. She hopes coyote pups will be among them. But this time, she wants to radio collar them so she can track their movements and find out whether they seek out humans or each other after they leave her. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Cohen.